Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we have been considering the subject scriptural marriage and family life. We have tried to take our teachings from the Word of God itself. I say this very respectfully, but I want to emphasize to those of you who are listening, the only source for our teaching is from the Word of God itself. We have many other books, we have tradition, we have this thing and that thing that men have to say, but men are not reliable, no matter who they are. Men through history are simply sinners who needed to be saved by the grace of God. Even though they may claim to speak in the name of God, nevertheless, it's only God's Word itself upon which we can depend and which is reliable for our lives. And so the teaching we're taking on scriptural family life and marriage is taken from God's Word. We've tried to refer to God's Word continually in our studies. In the last message I gave, we were beginning this subject of the worship of Christian families in the home. We talked about some of the Old and the New Testament bases for spiritual fellowship in relationships between God's people, and this included the home itself. For instance, I mentioned in the last message Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 6 and 11. There are many other passages, of course, in the Old Testament which refer to this, but these are three of the chapters that especially emphasize the home as a center of spiritual worship. Now, let me say one other thing as we come into the message for today. I want to emphasize the place of the church in our lives. We here at Harvest have a very wonderful church. Many of you have listened to the messages of Pastor Heron. You've been under his ministry in many ways. His life has touched your life in many ways. But we recognize that the home is the foundation of the church. In other words, if homes are not what they should be, the church also will not be very spiritual. So we recognize that we in our homes have to correct whatever may be lacking, whatever fellowship is lacking, whatever spiritual atmosphere is lacking. We have to correct these things and make them what God wants them to be. Now, as we continue this subject of the worship of Christian families in the home, first of all today, I want to talk about some of the problems for Christians of adequate family worship and fellowship. We're talking now about not only the husband-wife relationship, but also the relationship between parents and children. What are some of the problems we face? We have a phrase, and I want to use that phrase, we live in a fast food age. I don't want to mention any particular fast food company, but you're aware of the ones I'm probably speaking of. But we're living in this age when we simply go into a fast food place, we stand at a counter, we order a sandwich, we may walk out with a sandwich and eat it in our car, and then we're on our way. We may not even stay in the restaurant to eat it. And sometimes life at home seems to be the same thing. We have people, family members, who have outside activities they need to go to, outside concerns, and sometimes families don't even eat meals together. You watch some families in the morning when children are getting up, getting ready for school, the husband is getting ready to go off to work, the wife has her jobs to do in the home, and sometimes people don't even eat breakfast together. They simply are grabbing their school books, grabbing their lunches, they're heading off for school. And so this fast food age has become very common in our day. Families simply don't spend time together. Now, supper time is somewhat the same. At supper time, the families are rushing here and yonder. The children have playmates waiting outside the door for them. They have other activities they want to do before dark. The husband may have some meeting in the evening with his business associates and so forth. And so sometimes they don't even eat together. They don't have any time together at all. And so the husband is simply grabbing a bite, running out. The children are grabbing a bite, running out. The wife may eat by herself, as the case might be. And so this is a very difficult situation for most families in family life. How are we ever going to have a time when we can have family worship together? We can't do it in the morning. At noon, the children are at school. The husband is at work. We can't do it then. In the evening, we have so many things going on that we can't do it then as well. Now, I want to emphasize this truth, and I'm going to be emphasizing this again and again in the course of these messages. We have to set our priorities. The things that are our priorities are the things we're going to do. If we don't make things priorities in our lives, we're not going to do them. So when people say, I'm too busy to do it, it simply tells me before God, it simply tells me they don't make it a priority. It's not important to them. And that's why they don't do it. It's not that they're too busy. It's they're too busy with other things which have higher priority levels in their lives. And so if we're going to have adequate and God-pleasing family times together, we're going to have to make it a priority in our lives. Now, first of all, I believe that family fellowship begins with a personal walk of each family member before God in their individual personal lives. Let me repeat that again. I believe in personal, individual, spiritual lives. When people are not spiritual in their individual personal lives, they're not going to be spiritual in family life. Sometimes I sit in a family worship time. The children are sitting there with a sullen expression on their face. In other words, they don't want to be there. It tells me something about those children. It tells me that even though the children might be professing Christians, they're not Christians walking close with the Lord. Even teenagers can act like this at family worship. When they gather together with the father and the mother and the brothers and the sisters, they can act like this. They can act the same way as they gather together. And that is, they have this resentment, this sullen expression on their face. And this indicates, again, they're not walking with the Lord. So I believe for the husband and the wife and for the children who are old enough to read and to walk with the Lord, that this begins, the family worship begins, when the family is everything it should be in individual personal lives. So Christians in families may have unspiritual habits and attitudes in their daily walk with the Lord, and this carries over into their attitudes and approach to family worship as well. Now, what about the time limitation problem? I'm sympathetic with this problem. Sometimes our time is very, very limited. The husband is a hard worker. The wife is a hard worker. The children are busy. They have school activities and many other things. I still believe in making family fellowship and family life and family worship a top priority in our lives. Now, this means we may have to give up other things in order to have this family fellowship and this family worship. It means we may have to cut out some other things. The children waiting outside for our children to come outside and play may simply have to be put off. In other words, our children are busy, they cannot come out now. And the children themselves may have to accept this from God, that this is the way God wants it to be. In other words, nothing will stand between our family fellowship. And so this time of family worship needs to be something that is very, very important in our lives. And the problem is going to have to be dealt with in a very sincere and a very direct and a very firm spiritual way. We're going to deal with this problem, and nothing will interfere with family fellowship and family worship together. Now, there's another thing I want to also talk about, and I want to spend a few minutes in talking about this. What are some of the important elements that are most important in family fellowship and family worship? First of all, there has to be an acceptance by all family members of the importance and the vital necessity of that daily family time in their own lives and in their families. Unless they accept this, unless there is a willing acceptance of this and a joyous acceptance of this, it's never going to come to pass. I don't believe in simply dragging children into family worship. I believe these children must come with a willing, tender, open spirit. They need to learn this from their parents. This needs to be enforced, that we do not permit children to come with a bad spirit. They're to come with a willing, tender, open spirit. I may speak about this a little bit later. So there has to, first of all, be a willing acceptance of the necessity for this. We need this in our life. With God's help, we're going to have it in our lives. With God's help, we're going to have it properly in our lives and in our families. All right, the second thing, and that is that the Word of God is to have a central place in this. Now, again, I want to speak very, very carefully. Some people use what we call the daily bread approach. Now, I believe in this daily bread booklet. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. God has greatly blessed the ministry of the radio Bible class in the United States, and I believe in this approach. I do not, however, believe in it as a substitute for genuine family worship. In other words, the daily bread can be something that can be very inspirational to us. It usually has a verse of scripture. It'll have a little commentary on that verse of scripture by someone, and then a little closing piece, usually on just one short page. So I respect this, and I believe in its value, but it's not a substitute for genuine family worship, when the family gathers together around the Word of God. In other words, it's not just a verse we're reading. It could be a number of verses we're reading, or at least a section of Scripture we're reading. We're meditating on this section of Scripture, however briefly it might be. Of course, it's always on the level so that the children can understand it, and I'll be saying something about this later. But nevertheless, it is the Word of God we're gathering around. It's not what someone says about the Word of God, but what the Word of God itself says to our hearts. I believe there can also be a time of singing in this time of family worship. Now, in our family, our four children, all four of them had beautiful singing voices. I now have a CD of my son singing a solo. My wife has probably listened to that CD with me more than 20 times. It's so beautiful. But all four of our children had singing voices. They were like a quartet. So we loved to sing at the table. We would have hymn books there at the table. We would have some script at least that had the words of songs on them that we knew. And so we would sing around the table. And the children sometimes would sing alone. Sometimes my wife and I would sing with them. But we enjoyed this time of singing. And then, of course, when there are small children in the home, many families will include Bible stories which are scripturally correct and can be applied to the lives of the children. It's not wrong to use Bible stories. The only danger with a Bible story is the children may think it's only a story and simply not something that really happened. Whether it's Samson or whoever it might be, these are true Bible stories. The children need to clearly understand this. This is not simply a storybook we're reading, where it has something fictional in it that's never really happened. But rather, it's true things taken from the Bible, set to the level the children can easily understand. And so we try to speak, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in speaking, whether it's interpreting the passage of Scripture we read, whatever it is, we try to speak on the level of every member of the family so that even the smallest child can understand basically what is being said. And then, of course, we have a time of prayer. I remember when our family would gather together with our four children, there would be six of us around the table, my wife and I at either end, and then the children on either side of the table, two boys and two girls. But I can remember we would have a time of prayer. And the idea of prayer is not the father simply giving some long, lengthy, ecclesiastical prayer, but rather the members of the family participating in prayer. Even children can learn how to pray. And so in our family, we would have the two boys and myself pray one night, the two girls and my wife would pray the next night. And so everyone in the family would participate in this time of prayer. Prayers don't need to be lengthy, especially if the children are very young. They can be very short prayers, but they can be a time of meeting before the throne of God as a family. And we're participating together as a family. I also believe in verbal communication and sharing among family members. Now, you may not have time for this in your home, but after the time of family worship, we would have a time of family communication around the table. It might last another half hour around the table, but we would have this time of family communication. We would simply talk. What happened at school today? What problems are you facing? Sometimes there would be funny things that were said, but it was just like a time of family sharing around the table. Then at the very end of this time, we need to have a conclusion which evidences family harmony and family fellowship. In other words, we come to the end of our time of spiritual worship, and we're trying to discover what has made an impact upon the lives of every member of the family. What has had great impact on them? What did you learn today from our time of family worship? And what lesson can we learn? Sometimes each member of the family will contribute something to this, something that God has said to their hearts. Now, sometimes the worship has been so deep that the younger children have not even understood what has been said or what has been discussed. And so if we have conducted this properly, if everyone in the family has been consulted, everyone in the family is taken into consideration, everyone in the family would surely have something they could share with the other family members. And I believe, in fact, in going away from the time of family worship with the right attitude. In other words, people go away. I seriously, before God, want to apply what I've learned this evening to my life. Even a child can say this. I seriously want to apply this to my life. And with God's help, I will apply this to my life. So these are some of the elements in spiritual family worship. Now my prayer is this. If you do not have such a time in your family, you need to find that time when you can have it. It may be that it's not possible every single night of the week, but it may be possible to do this 3, 4, 5 nights during the week. Now I'm suggesting evening. Evening may not be the best time for you. It might be morning. You might want to have it before the children even go to school. My observation is that the mornings usually are very rushed and the situation is very chaotic as children are getting ready to go to school and everything. So in our family, we found out the evening was the best time to have it. It might also be after supper when we have the family time. I do not, however, like the idea of people simply scattering around the living room, everyone in their own corner, so to speak, and no one really paying any attention. As we gathered around the table as a family, I observed, as we faced each other around the table, there was maximum opportunity for attention to the Word of God and to what was going on in our family worship. Now, I want to stop right here. But I want to leave with you these few suggestions for family worship. These are taken, of course, from the Bible itself, where apparently the Jewish families in the Old Testament and the Christian families would have a time apart from church life when they would meet together as families and worship and praise and honor the Lord in their worship. May the Lord help you to establish something in your homes that would be pleasing to God.